Eric Anderson, Andover. Chris Edge, Berlin.
Here.
John Coleman, Bloomfield.
Here.
Sandra Pirog, Bolton.
Here.
Bob Bessel, Canton. He's there somewhere. Mark Walter, Columbia.
Here.
John Elsesser, Coventry.
Here.
Jim Hayden, East Granby.
Here.
Lori Spielman, Ellington. CJ Thomas, Farmington.
Present.
Chip Beckett, Glastonbury. John Ward, Granby. Scott Shanley, Manchester. Brock Weber, New Britain.
Here.
Robert Lee, Plainville.
Here.
John Mayer, Rocky Hill.
Here.
Maria Capriola, Simsbury.
Here.
Mark Shota, Southington.
Here.
Mike Maniscalco, South Windsor. Mike Rosentolland.
Here.
Sherry Cantor, West Hartford. Matt Hart, West Hartford.
Matt Hart, present.
Erica Wazinski, Willington.
Here.
Peter Souza, Windsor.
Here.
Chris Kervick, Windsor Locks.
Here.
Excellent. There were a couple of folks that I know are here. They may have been muted when I called their names. So we do, in fact, have a quorum. Is there anyone on the call that I did not call their name?
Did you get Scott from Manchester?
Scott Shanley, yes.
Yeah, thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, Scott.
This is Kathy Lutz.
Okay, Mike Rell from Weathersfield. Excellent. And yes, Kathy, I'm going to go into outside agencies in 1 minute.
Okay, I'll go back on mute.
No, you're good. You're down. You're counted. Okay, so moving on. I've got Becky Nolan, Metro Hartford.
Yes, here. Thank you.
Jean Goddard, Metro Hartford.
Yep, I'm here.
Okay, Alex Johnson, Capital Workforce Partners.
Present.
Jim Boucher, Capital Workforce Partners.
Here.
Caitlin Serzula, Advanced CT.
Perfect. Thanks, Kim.
Sure. Mark Mazzaro, Eversource.
Good afternoon.
Jonathan Ferrigno, Eversource.
I'm here.
Matt Pafford, OPM. Britt Folds.
Here.
Excellent. And I think we have Ellen Graham on here from Senator Blumenthal's office.
Here.
Ellen, is the senator still scheduled to call in around noon? Do you know?
I believe he's going to be a few minutes late. He's just finishing up a press conference.
Okay, super. Just let us know and we'll accommodate, of course.
Will do.
Okay, great. And that is all I have. Is there anyone else on the call that I did not call off your name except Krogstaff?
Alan, CCM.
Grayson Wright, Conduct.
Grayson, great. Okay. Is that it?
Randy Collins, CCM.
Randy. Excellent. Anyone else? Great. Thank you. Mayor, back to you.
Thank you, everyone. Hope you're enjoying this beautiful weather that's upon us while you're working. And I guess we'll just move right along and possibly get through a few of the items prior to the senator jumping on. So with that, is there anyone that would like to make public comment? Seeing none, we'll move on. Do I have an approval of the minutes from the April 22nd, 2020 meeting?
So moved, Madam Chair, John Coleman.
Do I have a second?
Second, Chris Kervick.
Any discussion in regards to the minutes? If not, I'll take a call for a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Was that an opposition or was we're all in favor?
All in favor.
All in favor.
Okay. Motion carries to approve the minute. In regards to correspondence, you were provided many of them. They are also on the board. Before you and for the discussion of the correspondence and handouts, I will call on Dr. Lowry.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll just make it brief because some of these items are going to be discussed later, but the DECD organized a small business reopening group, and I chaired it, and I want to thank Gene Goddard on the call who helped do this. But we took the guidance for the May 20th reopenings and got more specific and detailed on the reopening guidelines and the supplies of PPE. It's going to be a work in progress, as you know. Pauline and I have been having conversations with Lisa Tepper Bates in the governor's office about whether towns are having difficulty or not getting PPE in their small businesses. And so we're going to continue that conversation. Survey went out last Friday to chambers of commerce in the state to see if, in fact, there's a shortage or unavailability of certain kinds of personal protective equipment and whether they need help and whether the chambers of commerce would be up for helping. So please pass along if you hear from small businesses in your community and of the if they have issues acquiring quality or quantity or price of personal protective equipment. The second cluster, and I couldn't get on this call, but we're sending you the written version. DEEP has a series of reopening guidelines for parks and beaches that are there. These will all be on the governor's consolidated site. So those are the main items. Madam Chair, we'll be rolling out more guidance, obviously, in all these areas.
Thank you. We can go on to the monthly reports.
Yep.
Lyle, do you have anything else to offer under the monthly reports?
A couple of things. We'll get into this later on COVID, but in your packet, we have mission statement for the regional long-term recovery committees. This is a broad overview, but as you recall, the governor has assigned DEMAS, the Department of Emergency Management and Homeland Security, as the lead for reopening, and we have been coordinating so that the COGS and the DEMAS regions will be working together. And now in this package, you have a mission. So we'll be talking about this later, but the bottom line is there's going to be a state level, a regional level, and a local level. And we will be pestering towns about choices. So one is, do you want to do this yourself? So Hartford, West Hartford, others in East Hartford have done their own long-term recovery committees, and we'll try to connect with you on that. The second is, smaller communities may want to participate as a group with several towns developing a coordinator among them rather than doing one for every town. They might want to do one for two or three towns. And then the last but not least is they may want to ask for our help in doing this at the regional level. So this mission statement was just finalized yesterday, or this morning actually, but it'll be a guideline. So we have the state, regional, and local level. And then the other piece I'll just mention, we can get into this later, the councils of governments are writing a federal grant request for funding some of this assistance over the long haul, 24-month grant. There's a whole series of potential funding sources. OPM will be coming up with some guidance on that. So basically, the regional structure is getting put in place for towns that have already acted on this. You know, obviously, we'd like to plug into what you're up to. We will then reach out to towns that haven't yet organized and see how they choose to manage that. So that's taking up a big chunk of time. And then Pauline and Tim Malone are working on the grant application for federal funding to fund some of these efforts. And we will get that in as soon as possible. So that's my, and again, my regular monthly report's available too in terms of any questions you have. And I want to thank the management team at CROG for continuing this. We are actually still getting a lot of stuff done, which is pretty amazing. You know, transportation construction projects are getting done, HR portals being laid out, electronic document management, a whole variety of other things are still proceeding ahead. So that's just a quick point. So I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Lyle, I have a question.
Sure.
Is there any guidance or advice from other towns or as to how the recovery committees will be formed? Is this something, I appointed our recovery coordinator and, you know, the after an emergency, the non-political aspect lasts about 48 hours and then it gets back to normal. So it's become a very political issue here as to how it serves. Is there any guidance anywhere on that?
In terms of who?
Yeah, how do you pick people, and what's the process, or is it part of the emergency powers, you know, of the CEO, or?
Yeah, I don't. Is there? I see Cheryl lurking in the bottom there. Let me try my explanation, then Cheryl and Pauline can correct me. That'll sort of what they usually do. So my understanding is that the regional Demis coordinators are the keepers of the roster of who's who, right? And Lisa Tepper Bates has asked us to redouble our efforts to make sure we have a diverse group that reflects the communities you're in, rather than not. And those are basically nominated up to the regional Demis coordinator, and then we basically keep a roster. We have a roster. Pauline has this and didn't want to share it with everybody because it's too long, but we can share the roster with you in terms of what everybody else has done. But so I think it's sort of a nomination process up to the Demis coordinator with us, and I think you can sort of go from there. That's sort of my understanding. Now, Cheryl, can you correct me? Am I sort of roughly right?
Well, I may not have been clear. I meant on the local level. You know, we've been asked to do sort of the same thing on the local level, and
yes, okay, and
that's where we're swimming a little bit.
Yep. I think that the local teams would be sort of coordination between you and Demis and us, if you need help. Otherwise, I think most towns, for example, I don't know if Hartford's on the call, but they appointed a whole bunch of people on their own. So each town is doing their own local recovery committee and then informing the state. I don't know, Matt, you're on the call too. Is that what you did in West Hartford? You composed your own long-term recovery committee and then go from there, right?
Yeah, so what West Hartford has done, two things. Number one, we've kept our incident command system in place with respect to municipal operations, and we have a recovery coordinator who's paid staff person. And then the council created two special advisory committees, one on economic and workforce recovery, and the second on social and community recovery. And those committees are comprised exclusively of council members, but they plan to invite guests based on, you know, the conversation they're intending to have. For example, the one on workforce recovery is going to meet tomorrow night. We invited a representative from Capital Workforce Partners to attend and assist with the discussion on that agenda item. So we're taking this sort of hybrid approach, and we'll see how it works. But with respect to municipal operations, we've kept our incident command system up and running, and that's populated entirely by staff. I hope that's helpful. I'm happy to take any other questions offline.
I could tell you what East Hartford has done as well. Mm-hmm. We have a unified command, and we had a subsection of preparedness planning, which enveloped employees within the system to engage them in what they wanted to see within the buildings and to help to coordinate that effort. As we go into the recovery, we've broken out some of those logistics to a business recovery, which is being led by our economic development department, and our community is comprised of some members of the town council, along with other people within town hall and the community. And then the town facility recovery is a whole subsection for our town buildings, which is all about all levels of management as well as employees together to create a comfortable and safe return to the workforce.
And just to reiterate what we're trying to do here, if you look at this mission statement, and again, this was rolled out yesterday, so this is the first I've seen of it. The idea is that towns at your level will sort of identify issues and needs and gaps, and then do your best to fill them, and however you can, with local resources. To the extent that there's unmet needs, then you would kick it up to the regional level. We would sort of see if we can do anything at our regional level, and then it goes up to the state. So that's what this mission statement says in a long way. So, just as, and there's going to be a lot of variety, as you just heard, between towns in terms of how you organize this. But if there's unmet needs, they go to the regional level and they go to the state level. And that's sort of the plan. But there's going to be a lot of variety of different organizational structures at the town level. And I think you've heard that now. And I don't know if anybody else wants to add to the mix of what structures you put in place, but the idea is sort of do needs assessment and gaps, and then move it up to the regional level, and then move it up to the state level if we can't solve it at the regional level.
And we had one other breakout team that I forgot. We created a logistics team because in order to gear up with our PPE purchase ahead of time for the second wave that may come through, we're now looking at and quantifying those purchases that need to be done now in preparation for if this goes into effect again to make sure that we have all the appropriate supplies on hand.
Great.
It's Chris, good luck. It's difficult dealing with small staffs that we have and running the daily operations as well is difficult. So
yeah, I guess I'm not being particularly clear. Maybe that's because I'm embarrassed, but it's not a question of the function. We can understand the function. In my situation is, Board of Selectmen, I'm a political minority on the Board of Selectmen. So if I appointed the coordinator based on what I felt were the emergency powers that I had, because our emergency operations plan is in place. I caught hell for that because the majority members of the Board of Selectmen felt that they should be in the position to name who they want, and that's who I wanted. That's really what it comes down to. So I didn't know if there's some guidance as to whether these appointments come under the emergency management powers in our plans or statute, or if it's whether it's a Board of Selectmen or council function to appoint those persons. That, I guess that's really what it comes down to.
I think every town's politics are a little different. Mm-hmm. So our government doesn't function as yours does. And no. We don't allow politics into the recovery process. So,
yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Chris, this is Sandy Pierron from Bolton. I took it under emergency powers and appointed an employee of the town as our director and another employee of our town as our co-director, the first being our social services director, the second our economic development director, and they are picking their own committees with Board of Selectmen approval.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, I wonder if I could ask you to, we have a pretty long agenda and a lot of time for discussion. Mm-hmm. I wonder if we want to move the action items up, get them done.
I was wondering that as well. Thank you.
Yeah.
So if there's no objection, we'll take up item number 7, which is the approval of the CROG 2020-2021 budget. Highlights.
You had a motion to move. John.
Motion to move by John. A second?
Second, Sandy Pierog.
Sandy. Discussion? No questions in regards to this? If none? We'll move approved. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Seeing none, the motion carries. The next item is item number 8, which is a resolution to extend the contract with Rome Smith and Lutz.
We got the first one, budget, Madam Chair. Don't forget our budget.
We did that.
We already did it.
Oh, you did? What? Okay. I missed the bouncing ball. Sorry.
Don't move from your seat, Lyle.
I need more cheese sticks. Sorry.
There was no question, so I hope you got the money you're spending.
All right. Sorry.
So anyways, the executive committee does recommend that we take up and extend the contract of Rome Smith and Lutz, and for the purposes of motion.
So moved, Scott.
Second, John Coleman.
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, I'll call for a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Seeing none, the motion carries. The next item, item number 9, is a resolution to postpone the 2020 CROG annual meeting for the purposes of a motion. Actually, we're moving it to an unprecedented date at this time, correct?
Well, yep. I mean, the reason we have this is it's in our bylaws to have a meeting in June. And so Bob DiCrescenzo Council wrote a a recitation of why we need to do this for public health. And so you would be setting the meeting whenever the coast is clear, so to speak.
And I know we're still trying to keep our speaker kind of floating out there. Hopefully, yep. That will come to fruition when we have an opportunity to meet. So the purposes of a motion, do I have?
So moved.
John Coleman for a second.
Second, Lori Spielman.
Any discussion? Seeing none, I'll call for a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Seeing none, the motion carries. The next five items are all action items, and they all are for John Coleman. So do you want to take it, John?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Item number 10 is a TIP amendment for bridge and safety improvements on Route 2 in East Hartford. A normal TIP amendment, and the Transportation Committee unanimously recommends approval to the Policy Board, and I would so move.
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, I'll call for a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Seeing none, the motion carries. The next action item is a resolution for Transportation Committee to act as a policy board.
This is our annual resolution. The Transportation Committee stays in business during the summer, and the Policy Board authorizes the Transportation Committee to act on its behalf until the Policy Board reconvenes in September. Again, the Transportation Committee obviously recommends unanimously approval, and I would so move.
Do I have a second?
Second, Lori Spielman.
Second.
Seconded by Lori Spielman. Discussion? Seeing none, simple that we do this every year. I'll call for a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Seeing none, the motion carries.
Madam Chair, could I mention a point here?
Yep.
The suggestion is that given the unprecedented circumstances we're in, if there's a real reason to have a regular board meeting, that I would work with you and call one. In other words, if things come up that we need to address. So this would be the default position that transportation would handle for the summer. But if there's a really express reason to reconvene the board, you would be able to make that call as a special meeting. Just to let you, in case there's something that comes up. That's my suggestion.
Yep. The next item that we have before us is a resolution for the annual urban planning certificate. For the purposes of the motion, I'll call on John Coleman.
And Madam Chair, this is an annual self-certification that we comply with the Federal Metropolitan Planning Organization Transportation Code. And the Transportation Committee and staff have so self-certified and recommend approval unanimously to the Policy Board.
I have a motion by John Coleman. Do I have a second?
Second, Chip Beckett.
Chip, thank you, Chip. Discussion? Seeing none, this is all just standard protocol. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. The next action item is a resolution for complete streets, and for the purposes of the motion, I recognize John Coleman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is the formal approval of the complete streets plan, which has been presented to the Policy Board at a prior meeting. I would first like to recognize the staff of CROG and the consultants that worked with them in the long and arduous efforts that they made to get this plan to the point where it has received approval from all of the parties involved. And our hats off to really coming up with a great plan and getting it approved by all the various stakeholders. The Transportation Committee has unanimously endorsed the plan and so recommend same to the Policy Board, and I would so move.
Second.
Do I have a second?
Second, Chip Beckett.
Thank you, Chip. Further discussion? Seeing none, I'll call for a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? And the motion carries. The last action item that we have is a resolution authorizing the execution of agreement with Cambridge System Systematics, Inc. for travel demand modeling and data management assistance for the purposes of a motion. I recognize John Coleman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This authorizes Lyle to negotiate and execute an agreement with Cambridge Systematics for the specialized demand modeling and data management assistance, which they are more than qualified to perform. It's paid for under the federal transportation funds that CROG receives. Transportation Committee unanimously approved and recommends same to the policy board, and I would so move.
Thank you, John. We have a motion by John Coleman. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Chip. Discussion? Seeing none, I'll call for a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Seeing none, the motion carries. So that gets us through the action items.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
So we can go back up to discussion items.
You may want to move to municipal services. Yeah, there we go.
Well, that's where we are, right?
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
So did you have anything else to add in regards to the chair, executive director?
Not unless there's questions, but there will be under the COVID update, various discussions later.
Anything under opportunities and resources, Lyle?
We did pass around an EDA grant. There will be additional funding sources coming from the federal government, and we'll make our towns knowledgeable about those as they emerge. OPM is going to be coming out with a guidance memo on this, and we will share it as soon as we get it. So there may be other opportunities for towns on this COVID recovery. So that's the main one.
Thank you. So for the discussion on municipal services and purchasing council, is Peter on the
I am Mayor. Okay. Folks can see on the screen the three items. I'll just highlight one, just a reminder that the HR consulting services is now available to members for such things as class and compensation studies, training, and general HR needs. So folks should contact Pauline Yoder to be able to access those services.
Is there a grid of costs? Well,
I believe, yes. Pauline, have you circulated that previously, or was that just to the committee members?
That was sent to the Municipal Services Committee members, and we can definitely make sure that they're available to the policy board members as well.
Right. Thank you. Any questions for Peter? Seeing none, thank you, Peter. Under policy and planning, Tim Malone.
Hi, yes, thank you. So in May, the EPA announced that CROG is gonna be awarded $300,000 to undertake environmental assessments on brownfield sites. We submitted this back in December. It's a highly competitive funding program, and we should have funds available beginning in October. As you saw earlier, the public comment period for the action plan was finished. We were in development since 2017, and thank you for approving. The item was written assuming that was gonna come later in the meeting. We also have two sustainable CT interns coming on board. They're gonna be starting in June. They'll be working with the towns to help with certification under the Sustainable CT program. So they'll be contacting you about your applications and various action items that you have within your applications. Their names are Kellyanne Maffa and Matthew McCarthy. And as Lyle had mentioned, we're coordinating with a number of stakeholders about potential projects under the EDA CARES Act funding. They have $1.5 billion, and about $250 million of that is reserved for the northeastern region of the U.S. And finally, we have a Metro Hartford Future Implementation Committee meeting tomorrow, May 28th at 9. That's the second meeting of that group. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Tim. Any questions for Tim? Tim, can you reiterate what percentage of that 250 million is reserved? Oh, 250 million of that is reserved for the Northeast.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. That's great. Under public safety, if not, we'll move on. For under public safety, Laurie Spielman.
I don't have it right in front of me. I'm sorry.
That it should be on the screen.
That's probably my fault, Laurie.
I don't see it on the screen.
No.
We do.
I can take it if you like.
Yep, go ahead. Thank you.
Thanks, Laurie. You know, and we did send this out to you, but essentially we activated our regional emergency support plan on March 18th, so we're in week 11. Our incident management team has been activated along with our regional coordination center. We're really spending most of our energy now running the regional distribution site. You know, so today is Wednesday, the heaviest day, where PPE is distributed to nursing homes, long-term care facilities, and all the EMS agencies. Last Wednesday, we actually had the largest day with 1.7 million pieces distributed. And I think we're probably on target for that today as well. I don't know if anybody has any questions for me or.
Any questions for Cheryl? Seeing none. Thank you, Cheryl. Anything else for transportation, John?
I think just the on the, it's on the screen on the transportation funding opportunities, the sort of funding deadlines for Section 5310 for the seniors and individuals with disabilities. That's due on June 26. The demand responsive for disabled is due on June 1st, and the CROG LOTSIP solicitations are due today. So that just would point out those three dates in terms of folks getting in applications for that funding.
Okay, thank you.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I just have been informed that Senator Blumenthal will not be able to join us, so we can proceed, but we'll try and track him down for our next gathering.
All right, perfect. Thank you. So I'm going through my packet. Yes, I do see. Yes, I do see it. Thank you. Becky or Jean, did you want to share anything in regards to Metro Hartford Alliance?
Thank you, Mayor. Good afternoon, everybody. As you know, with the shutdown of the economy, there's not been many conferences or activities for us to do a lot of marketing or promotion at or trade shows to be attending. Many of those are being closed down until the fall. But we do have some activities that we've continued to do. We're doing a marketing effort on LinkedIn in the Boston market in the last part or first part of June to talk about opportunities in the Hartford region. So it's a small LinkedIn campaign designed to garner interest for those folks that are wanting to get out of the tall towers in the and overcrowdedness in the Boston market and take advantage of some of the opportunities we have in the suburban office and the CBD marketplace in Hartford. Some of our business attraction projects that we started in before the shutdown continue to move forward. Those that are in the in manufacturing and warehouse distribution spaces, and we'll. Some of those continue to expand, although we're seeing fall potential construction times for some of those once they make a decision. Other activities that we do have going on that you may want to be aware of is on a virtual basis, the actuarial boot camp will be taking place July 20th through the 24th. That boot camp typically is a week-long class that we do with junior seniors and recently graduated students that are looking to careers in the insurance industry. We'll be doing that completely virtually this year rather than online. So we're looking forward to another 30 to 40 students participating in that. We recently co-sponsored a international webinar in the insurance ecosystem, a health ecosystem in the insurance industry with InsurTech Insights. InsurTech Insights was held a conference that we were all supposed to be at in London in March, but of course that got canceled. So we continued our sponsorship and activity with them by hosting an event where we were able to have Commissioner Mays and Eric Galvin from our region participate in that webinar. There were over 475 participants from around the globe that were able to participate in that. Other virtual events that will be taking place is we recently learned that the Farnborough Air Show, which is scheduled to take place this July, will be doing a virtual event, and we are looking exploring opportunities to promote and market the region at that event as well. Lastly, the Insurance Capital Summit, which was scheduled for June 22nd to take place during the Travelers Championship, has been moved because that is moving to a TV only event. We have decided to move the Insurance Capital Summit until October 22nd. This fall will be held at the Convention Center. Depending on what happens with the pandemic, if there is a bump in the fall, we may have to move that to a virtual event. But as of right now, we are planning that to be an in face-to-face event, again, October 22nd. Also, to follow up with what Lyle mentioned, we spent a lot of time the last 3 weeks working with the governor's office and other partners from around the state on putting together the reopening guides, which are available on the state's website as well as the preparedhartford.com pandemic website, along with all of the webinars that we've been hosting over the past few months. So thank you, Mayor. Becky, I don't know if there's anything else you want to add, but appreciate your time. If you have any questions, you can feel free to reach me. Oh, lastly, we are looking to open our office again on June 29th. Although we all have been working hard virtually, we'll be starting to reopen our facility on June 29th.
Thank you, Jane. Becky, did you have anything to add? Seeing none. Thank you, Jane. Any questions for Jane? If not, we'll move on to item number 8, which is Alex Johnson on?
Yes, I am, Mayor.
Oh, great. Alex, you want to give us an update on Capital Workforce Partners?
Yes, I will. Happy. And we also wanted to share some discussion around the Summer Youth Program, but I would, before we get into that, just some quick updates on Capital Workforce Partners generally. You know, as everyone knows, our America's Job Center centers have been closed to the public since March, but I also want to emphasize the fact that although we're closed to the public, we are still engaging customers through a variety of virtual platforms. So we have been able to convert ourselves so that we are able to intake customers virtually. We're able to certify them eligible for our services virtually. We've also been part of a statewide effort to push out a Skills Up initiative, which enables individuals to use a variety of online training tools to get career development services, career and credentialing services to enable them to upskill themselves while we're in this state. So I do want to just, you know, emphasize the fact that, you know, we are still able to and willing to support both our job seekers and business customers to the extent that they have needs for our services. So just wanted to make that general update, but also specifically, we wanted to provide some opportunity for discussion for the upcoming Summer Youth Employment and Learning Program. I would note that we did have a conversation with Lyle and staff, as well as Mayor Cantor a week ago, who really expressed the desire to understand what our plans for the summer, given, you know, this COVID environment, but also seeking the support of the municipalities to come up with ideas and projects that we can use to ensure that our young people have opportunities to provide community supports, but at the same time, provide them with opportunities for some learning support. So I do have Jim Boucher of my team on to give some specific commentary around some of the specifics around the program design. But generally, I would note that we are hopeful to be serving region-wide about 1,500 young people. Of that, we know that only about a third of them will be in traditional work sites because of the challenges that companies are having with providing the initial work site supports to our young people. So we have sought out a number of career development tools and online learning tools that we will use to supplement the experience for our young people. You know, we envision that our young people will be engaged for 6 weeks, 120 hours on average. If they're in the work environment, they will be paid the minimum wage. If they're in the learning environment, they will receive 80% of the minimum wage, which is about $9.35 an hour. So I'll ask Jim to give some specifics, but we
Madam Chair, before you do that, Alex, can I jump into this? Just this relates to the item down below on summary of employment. I think it might be, if I just sort of set this up. What Jim is going to describe is about 1,500 youth being served. I wanted to give you the conversation we had, and that is, we have a very big problem with summer use, with recreational opportunities being closed down and summer jobs being closed down around the region. Just to give you the numbers, we have 115,000 people in the region between 14 and 21. 114,000, and we have for students under 150% of poverty in that same age group, 27,000. And on a good day, we're proposing to do 1,500. So the question, I think, Madam Chair, as you go forward, there's two things that I want you to think about, and I'll certainly turn it right back to Jim Boucher, is one, whether we want on your behalf to send a letter to the governor saying, please support the summer youth employment funding, just that 1,500 could go away. So that's one thing. And the second thing is whether there's interest on the board to actually get more in depth on summer youth engagement or summer youth employment opportunities to deal with that as a broader issue. But those are the two things as you listen to Jim. But one, it's, you know, 1,500 out of 115,000 people. It's a really big issue. But to get support to the governor so that when he cuts things in the next little while, he leaves summer youth employment alone. And to see if there's interest in us coming back with a broader look at summer youth engagement and employment in the region, because it's going to be a big challenge. So that's, I just wanted to shoehorn that in there. Jim can get into the details, but those are the two big picture things you need to look at.
Hey, Lyle.
Thank you.
This is Mike Rell from Wethersfield.
Yes, sir.
To kind of piggyback off of that, I'm putting it out there to other folks who may be able to answer. Are anybody's boards of ed giving any pushback to them or to their, you know, municipalities for parks and rec use during the summer months? I've heard from some that the school boards and superintendents are trying to keep the buildings closed and as clean as possible leading up to fall school starting. Just checking to see if any other municipalities have run into any roadblocks from their local boards of ed.
John Elsesser, Coventry. Our board of ed has closed the school facilities, tennis courts, basketball courts, and parking lots.
Same with Fulton.
Same with East Hartford, but the town parks are open.
But, you know, the track is closed, really? Can't walk on a track?
Yes, as a matter of fact, they did close it.
In Windsor, we have an agreement with the Board of Ed to use one of their facilities for our summer camps, and their fields and track are all open to public use with restrictions.
Okay. Those are for the outdoor. Anything for indoor youth camp classrooms? I know the governor's executive order, municipalities can apply a waiver of 30 or more, but get into 10. So you're looking at classroom.
In Windsor, we are using one school for at least 30 children. We're trying to get a waiver for more indoor.
Okay.
we will be using schools in the town for camp if we end up opening, but we are preparing to open and we will be using multiple schools.
Thank you, Lyle. Who wants to do the briefing, but I wanted to get this on the table as a big issue. And I obviously there's a lot of different aspects, but Jim may want to give us a briefing, but you know, we got 115,000 youth that may be disconnected this summer. So it's a big challenge.
Yeah, this is Jim. I don't know if you wanted me to.
Why don't you go in and just give us a little more on this?
Yep, Jim.
So, I guess just a note, a couple highlights to the summer. We spent a good amount of time putting together a high quality summer program using a lot of virtual instructional resource tools and. As such, we actually are working with a group called Year Up, and they have a high-quality Career Labs 40-hour remote tool, plus two other remote tools. And we're able to provide that to several hundred young people in the region, City of Hartford in the region, greater capital region. The other thing is we have another tool called Career Edge, again, another interactive tool that really supports a lot of the career competency development for youth. And we did a lot of work to also talk with the providers and also with youth about, you know, their, you know, right now feeling very concerned about the technology that's out there in the virtual training, but pretty much across the board, there was a high level of interest to use virtual tools in the summer, especially getting paid for the stipends and wages that Alex mentioned. And so we feel like we have a high quality, safe program for the summer and it's ready to roll out. And I think the challenge is that probably the state of Connecticut leadership doesn't necessarily know that we have that kind of a cool program ready to move forward. I'd also say a good number of, as Alex mentioned, about a third of the positions could be used for community service, community revitalization, work sites, again, in small groups with PPE and other kinds of protections. And we've also been able to, you know, look at a number of projects that that would serve. So we're ready to go in terms of the design. And as Lyle mentioned, I think we all know that some, you know, the youth and particularly a number of communities are, especially, you know, 16 to 21 year olds are being disproportionately impacted by all of this. And so we were really trying to target some of the groups that are getting disconnected. So as one brief example, we're looking at a number of, you know, summer youth employment for a number of 12th grade graduates who right now, after, you know, 2 or 3 months of remote learning, we're concerned that they might not be engaged this summer as they look at their post-secondary plans. And so we've really developed kind of planning for a good quality, safe program this summer. And now we're concerned that the state might not be fully aware of the program that we have. And without the funds from the state, we literally won't have a regional program. I think it's pretty clear to say. And that's just for the summer, and I'll pause there. But going forward, beyond even the summer, I think this is a big issue for disconnected youth across the region.
Madam Chair, if I could just interject again, I seem to be doing that. We have 20,000 people between 16 and 21 that are at risk of being disconnected this summer. And I guess my question for you and the board is whether you'd be willing to have us draft a letter for the chair's signature to the governor and appropriate legislators supporting summer youth employment funding. And we can do the recitations of why that's important, but I think it may be at risk. I mean, we're, you know, going to be in a tough situation. And the point that Jim is making is to recite what we're doing, what Capital Workforce Partners is doing, but also the importance of summer youth employment for the region. But I don't know what the view of the board is on this, but I think it might be helpful to have a letter like that drafted.
Madam Chair, John Coleman, I would so move.
Second, Chris Edgewood.
Yeah. Would there be any other discussion or concerns with us moving forward with a letter of support outlining what Capital Workforce does, what the benefits of summer youth employment are, and what the limitations are if funding is not removed or if more funding is not provided. Any concerns? Okay, so I guess we'll officially call for a vote, though, even though it wasn't an action item.
Do you need to add it to the agenda, Madam Chair? I don't know.
Yep, so we will add it to the agenda under, I don't know, I guess anywhere. We'll add it under 9A.
You need a motion to add it to the agenda first? I'm trying to remember my parliament
chair. Yes, we do.
Okay.
I have a motion to add an appropriate update on Capital Workforce Summer Youth Employment. Motion to authorize the creation and sending of a letter to the governor's office.
So moved. So moved. Bob Bessel from Canton.
Second. Who was the second?
Matt Hart, West Hartford.
Thank you. Discussion? Seeing none, I'll call for a vote. All those in favor to add this item to the agenda?
Aye.
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 Opposed? None. So now we will take up the discussion of the letter. John Coleman actually had moved that motion. And who seconded it?
Chris Edge Berlin.
Said Berlin. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, we'll call for a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Seeing none, the motion carries.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So my proposal would be to continue to work with Alex and Jim on additional work on summer youth employment and summer youth engagement and come back to you with additional updates and get that letter to the governor and the appropriate parties as soon as we can.
Okay, great. Thank you,
Al. And I would also add, the conversation that we're having in terms of how we can, to the extent that we also have the program available, how we can also have opportunities for young people to provide community support for ideas for local projects that we can help organize, to keep our young people engaged through the summer. Yep. I'd like to continue that conversation as well. And I would also note, just in closing, that one of our challenges, as we've mentioned here, is the need for continued youth employment. But also, I'd like to park the issue that as we've looked at the massive numbers of people who have been unemployed as a result of COVID, right now we're looking at data that 65% of those who have lost their jobs are those who have been making $40,000 a year or less.
Right.
So we also want to also work with you in terms of what can we do to help these individuals upskill themselves, recompete for better jobs, because that's another looming challenge for all of our communities, and we want to work in partnership with you to come up with solutions.
So I just have a question. So if there is a family who's tentatively collecting unemployment and they're getting the dependent component of that, is the summer youth going to be impacting the household benefit?
It will not, because it's normally not counted as family income, and the guidelines that we have to use is those who are eligible for free or reduced lunch has been the guideline that the state laws require that we use.
Great. Is there an opportunity as part of the summer youth employment to require some type of community work or give back? I know that the schools want to include some of that in the educational component, and I didn't know if there's organizations and nonprofits where we could require so many hours of the summer youth to know what it's like to be on the giving end of something. I'm just wondering if that might be a way to support nonprofits, even if it was, Food Share or United Way, or if they have the ability to maybe in their neighborhood contribute so many hours but still get compensated for that. That might be a way to support those
Yes, most definitely. Those are the kind of projects we would be interested in identifying and using young people to support. You know, because food distribution has been one of the areas that we've been looking at. You know, we have a laundry list of ideas that were on the call. And I think one of the thinking was that if we can, you know, identify at the municipal level what are some potential projects we can engage young people in, we could definitely make sure that we could engage young people as part of their experience. And they would be receiving payment at the minimum wage for providing community benefits.
So as you can well imagine, Riverfront Recapture is struggling at this time with the reduced funding from MDC and the loss of revenue for the programming that offsets some of their costs. This is a very real period where they may be folding. And if there is an opportunity to engage them and take a large number of kids and put them into work with people who can talk more about environment or, you know, environmental issues and get them to help on some of the trails or even working down at the boat launches, things like that might be able to offset and curtail that folding of Riverfront Recapture prior to the session opening, where maybe there can be some modifications made so that Riverfront Recapture and the work mm-hmm. in those areas can be reconnected to possibly tourism dollars or something like that. So I just raised that as a thought, and I know that they would really seek to benefit from some of the work, so that could be provided.
Madam Chair, I think that's a great idea. I propose when we continue our conversations with Alice Johnson, Jim Boucher, and West Hartford and others, we'll make everybody aware of those calls. But the idea is to look at the summer youth employment aspect, but there's something broader, and that's the whole summer youth engagement. Mm-hmm. It may not necessarily involve money. Yep. But, you know, boys and girls clubs, and maybe they could ramp up, et cetera, et cetera. So we're going to have some of those conversations. There's some work going on in West Hartford now, as there is in other communities, but the proposal is to basically invite everybody that wants to be involved to sort of plug into that. And I think we can, again, summer youth employment only deals with, you know, 1,500 out of 100,000 people. So we got another 98,500 to go. So we got to broaden the conversation. So,
yeah, thank you.
Yep, we'll continue and thank you. We'll keep you informed and we'll get that letter drafted. Thank you, Jim and Alex. Thanks, guys.
So now skipping down to item number 15, if Kathy's on the line, if she'd like to provide us with any type of update, what she's hearing, when they think they're going to go into session, when can we expect our funding to come into the town?
Yeah. Yep, I'm here.
Thank you.
I apologize. I was popping in and out. So I just want to go back. If there were any questions on our contract,
we're done.
I don't know. I was muted or something.
Cash
so
the
no
check,
questions.
Kathy.
Okay. Well,
cash the check.
Well, I thank you. I thank you very much for that. There are little specific answers to those questions, Mayor. I just actually heard this morning that legislative leadership is now considering mid to end July for special session, that the governor will most likely do some rescissions, and that coupled with the rainy day fund would get them through the end of this fiscal year.
Jesus,
but astonishingly, that there is no, they're not close to plans on actually how to accomplish it. They're still talking about staggered voting. And they just, I was surprised. So that's where they're looking now, mid to end July. They're still with the belief that large agency bills would be used to contain what chairs of the committees believe are necessary. And again, with this confusion over how to actually hold a session, hold votes, nothing that would be overly controversial would be brought up. It would have to have either bipartisan agreement or a pre-agreement that, you know, there'll be no votes, but not an attempt to prevent a vote. So
can
there
I ask
is
a question, Madam Chair.
Sure.
You might have seen the commentary from Joe DeLong recently about moving the state funds that have been received by, from the feds to the towns. And again, Matt's on the call here, but I'm not sure what the status of that is. Because, you know, in the rest of the country, when you have larger cities and counties of 500,000, the money went directly to the city and county. You know, the check was cut by the feds. Here, the money went to the state. But I don't know the details of that letter from CCM and what's happened with it or what the facts or what the issues are. Just maybe if you have anything to add to that, otherwise I can.
Are you talking about the CARES Act that went to the state of Connecticut flowing?
Yeah.
So Melissa McCaw, and I'm sure there's others on the phone that were on that conference call where she said that they were not going to be using FEMA, but sending that money to us. And they believed that it would be enough money to cover all of our shortfalls. I just talked to my finance director who just got word that they may be changing. And that's why I wish someone was on the phone that could speak to this, that they were changing that. And I haven't received any information in regards to that, but I was told from her that they were looking to make us to go back to the original submission to FEMA, and then the match would be what would come to the town from the CARES Act. So
this is Matt Hart. I could weigh in as well.
Oh, good, here. Matt.
Now, what I've heard is consistent with what you just reported. You know, a couple weeks ago, the state had informed us that we would be submitting our applications directly to them. We have now heard that we will be applying to FEMA as originally contemplated, I think at the 75% reimbursement level.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're also going to have the opportunity to submit an application to OPM, and they will cover, the state will cover a portion of our remaining 25%. So it should be a two-step process.
Okay.
But there is, so, and then talking about that in regards to the second wave, which was why I was hopeful Senator Blumenthal would be on the line, that there was the ability to, for an extended financial distribution to municipalities to bridge their revenue losses. But that, is, I guess, is not moving anywhere. So,
Mayor?
Yes.
General Assessor, there is a concern that you can't use federal funds to match federal funds. So I don't know whether they can pass the CARES Act money through to us as a match to the FEMA money. I think they would have to think broadly, which will be hard for them. But there are a lot of other expenses that they could cover, which are FEMA eligible. I'm sure we've all used our town attorneys to do things, and we've, you know, done other services that aren't FEMA eligible. That's what they should cover, which might end up being, you know, covering the 25%. But they better be very careful about using federal funds to match federal fund grant matches.
Yep. If I can add one thing, Madam Chair, one of the things that's happened in Washington is the next phase of the COVID bills was supposed to be, you know, state and local support. And if you read the press, it's bogged down into political bickering and hasn't moved. So that's, I think, the fundamental problem is the large scale state and local relief bill is not being considered actively right now, is my understanding. So that's, you know, beyond what the state has, they're waiting for federal action, which is not moving very quickly at the moment. The first few move quickly, but this one has not moved that fast. So I don't know where that is. And again, it's too bad Senator Blumenthal couldn't enlighten us about what the story is. But it was supposed to be the state and local bailout, sort of quote unquote, next. And that has gotten bogged down. So that's a big problem.
On another note, has anyone received their municipal grant and aid?
The projects money? Yeah.
You did?
Yeah, about 2 weeks ago.
That nerd.
Unless I'm wrong, it's possible.
Anyone else? So is there any other business to come before the policy board?
Madam Chair, the only thing is that asterisk, but it is a really compelling reason for the board to get together. We'd recommend that if you know, activities happen that we need your action on.
Yeah, I think if anyone has some concerns or just thinks it's important for us to touch base, I think it's important that we have that open dialogue. And sometimes if it's nothing other than maybe even just continuing the COVID conversation, it might be right. Worthwhile. And the summer youth employment, if there's any movement on that as well. Mm-hmm. And any operational concerns, I think it's worthy of it. So agree. We have two meetings coming up, the Municipal Services on June 16th and the Transportation Committee on June 22nd. And if there's no other discussions to come before the board, did anyone else in the audience want to offer anything? Was Eversource or any of our other people on the call wish to offer any information? If not, I guess I will take a motion to adjourn.
So move, Madam Chair.
Thank you, John. Do I have a second?
Second.
Who was the second?
Plainville.
Thank you. I'll call for a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Have a great day. Thank you. Stay safe.
Bye, everyone.
Thanks.
Everybody.